Ukraine's eastern city of Donetsk comes under a missile attack. Our correspondent Johnny Miller earlier joined us for more details. The U.S. gives its energy corporation Chevron the green light to resume production in Venezuela, following an agreement between Caracas and opposition groups. Also in the headlines, search operations are underway in the southern Italian island of Ischia for nearly a dozen people missing following a landslide. Thanks for joining us. In Ukraine, the eastern city of Donetsk has come under a missile attack as the war with Russia continues. A correspondent was close by when one strike hit the city center. Earlier, Johnny Miller himself joined us for a first-hand account of the incident.
Well, let me first of all start by saying that this is nothing new. The Ukrainian army shells civilians in Donetsk every day. To be totally honest with you, the only reason I'm covering it today is because I tried to take the morning off. I've been in Donbass for some time, tried to take the morning off. I was sitting in a cafe watching World Cup football, to be totally honest with you. I left that cafe to come to meet somebody in a hotel lobby. We had loud explosions outside. Most people ran to the basement. I went out to see where they landed. One of the missiles landed in the middle of Pushkin Boulevard. Now, Pushkin Boulevard is beautiful, scenic, pedestrian walkway in the middle of Donetsk. People promenade there on their Sunday afternoons off. One of the missiles landed right there. The other missile landed at the cafe that I was at 45 minutes before. Shrapnel flew in the window, smashing the window right next to where I was sitting. Now, nobody has been killed in these attacks in Donetsk. I woke up this morning tweeting about the neighboring district being bombed by Ukraine, smoke rising above that district. But nobody's been killed here in the center of Donetsk. It's frankly, luckily, nobody has. There's many people walking around the streets just as the missiles were landing. Three civilians have been killed in the neighboring city of Makiivka by this shelling. Just a couple of days ago, a woman was killed here in the center of Donetsk, her high-heel boots and her purse sticking out from a blanket that was covering her. So this is nothing normal. This is just normal life here in Donetsk. Frankly, I've normalized it because it's just what happens here every day, while Russia is at the moment launching huge missile strikes its energy infrastructure across Ukraine. Ukraine targets civilians here in Donetsk. When I'm at frontline areas and there's clearly outgoing artillery or military objects there, I don't call out Ukraine for targeting civilians. Civilians shouldn't really be in those areas. But here in the center of Donetsk, there's no military targets. This is simple terror bombing of the civilians here.
The chief commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps is warning of plots by the U.S., the U.K., Israel, and Saudi Arabia to sow discord and division in Iran through inciting riots. Major General Hossein Salami says, however, that Iran will definitely defeat any such schemes.
Definitely, this new battlefront where seditions are taking place and this world war, we will turn this place into a graveyard for the policies of the U.S., Israel, and their allies. This is our determination. This determination exists in our...
In an address to crowds of people in the southeastern city of Zahedan, Major General Salami called for unity in the face of plots and warned against playing into enemy hands. He noted that the history of the U.S. and the U.K. are replete with crime and aggression, and the two now want to restore their political, economic, and cultural dominance over Iran. According to General Salami, the American, British, Israeli, and Saudi leaders are one united front, while the Iranian people and security forces are the opposite front facing them. On the occasion of Besiege Week, Iran's leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has addressed members of the volunteer force. Besiege, which is affiliated to Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, has been at the forefront of confronting rioters in the country. In his speech, the leader said that negotiating with the U.S. won't resolve anything, adding that Iran's main confrontation is with the global hegemony, not a bunch of rioters.
It was an important forum, comprised of volunteer forces that have been at the forefront in confronting the rioters. The all-too-important besieged force, which throughout the decades have not only served in the security arena, have contributed to Iran's advancements in a host of fields like science and technology. Iran's leader, in his address to them for the occasion of Besiege Week, said that these forces have sacrificed themselves in order to save people from a bunch of rioters and mercenaries. But he also advised them on who the real enemy is, that in the bigger picture, Iran's battle is not with a group of rioters, but with global hegemony. The onslaught on Iran, especially through the media, has been organized by foreign actors, like from Saudi Arabia and the UK. With US and Israel aiding and abetting their fake news, their primary goal has been to create unrest inside of Iran by inviting Iranians to come out and protest. At the same time, there are some under the misguided belief that talking to the U.S. will solve Iran's problems.
I've been notified that the U.S. president has said that he's seeking to free Iran. Mr. President, Iran was freed 43 years ago and is determined not to get subjugated. And Iran will never be your milking cow.
But Iran's leader has said that negotiating will not resolve anything, saying that our problem with America can only be resolved by letting that country hold us to ransom.
Iran has held several rounds of talks with the West over its civilian nuclear program, but the negotiations have not yielded the results that Tehran desired. The main reason has been the U.S.'s excessive demands and its lack of will to compromise. The U.S. wants to strip Iran of all of its capabilities, which includes its nuclear knowledge and defense capabilities like missiles.
There have been lots of speculations as to why the riots began in the first place, especially the timing, which came when the JCPOA sanctions removal talks with world powers were deadlocked over Washington's lack of commitment. It is a distinct possibility that the recent riots may have been part of the West's pressure on Iran to compromise on its rights in negotiations, including with the U.S. Yet the whole notion on continuing with these talks is not in the best interest of Iran and can never bear fruit due to the West and U.S.'s excessive demands. Realistically, the U.S. wants Iran to abandon its nuclear program, to change its constitution, restrict its influence to inside of its borders, and to close its defense industries, basically stripping the country of its identity. Some of these restrictions and excessive demands are due to Israel, which acts in line with U.S. policies to maintain dominance over the region. After all, the U.S. has worked hard to vilify Iran through Iranophobia in the region, pushing Persian Gulf Arab countries to normalize ties with Israel to unite against regional power, Iran. That is one of the reasons that Iran has time and again said that the U.S. must leave the West Asia region, as it only seeks to weaken and ultimately disintegrate Muslim countries, as stated by advisor to Iran's leader, Ali Akbar Velayati. The U.S. has played a destructive role in the region, like pushing hard for the partitioning of Iraq and Syria, trying to do the same with Iran. This has been a goal of the U.S., a West Asia region whose borders can be redrawn to their liking, with the ultimate goal of having vassal states serving U.S. interests. But when it comes to Iran, that will be an impossible feat. One only has to look at the most recent showing of Iranians when it came to their large-scale presence earlier this month during pro-government demonstrations, and for the funeral of Iranian commander Qasem Soleimani, whom the U.S. assassinated back in 2020 from a drone strike in Baghdad, not to mention the funeral processions which Iranians participated in the funerals held in Karaj, Isfahan, and Shiraz.
The official page of the U.S. Soccer Federation is displaying Iran's national flag on social media without the emblem of the Islamic Republic in a flagrant violation of FIFA's disciplinary code. The Twitter account of the U.S. men's team displayed a banner of its matches in World Cup's group stage, with the Iranian flag only displayed in green, white, and red colors without the symbol of Allah. The same happened in posts on his Facebook and Instagram accounts. The U.S. Soccer Federation has said in a statement that it decided to forgo the official flag on social media accounts to show support for, quote, the women in Iran fighting for human rights. This is according to Article 13 of FIFA's disciplinary code. Any person who offends the dignity or integrity of a country through contemptuous, discriminatory, or derogatory words or actions shall be sanctioned with a suspension lasting at least 10 matches or a specific period, or with any other appropriate disciplinary measure. Iran is scheduled to face the U.S. on Tuesday in a make-or-break decider in Group B. Pakistan's former Prime Minister Imran Khan and his supporters assembled near Islamabad on Saturday, urging the government to step down and to hold fresh elections. In his first public address since being shot in an assassination attempt earlier this month, Khan vowed to fight with his last drop of blood. Nasser Kazmi has more.
Tens of thousands of activists from Imran Khan's PTI party, who came from all across Pakistan, chanted anti-government slogans demanding immediate elections, accusing the government for what they called following U.S.-backed policies. The protesters held the ruling party responsible for the current economic crisis. They said Imran Khan is the only leader who could bring political and economic stability to Pakistan.
Our leader Imran Khan is fighting with the corrupt mafia who was brought by the U.S. Our struggle is for the rule of law in the country, and that is only possible when Imran Khan will be in power.
Having survived an assassination attempt during his anti-government march on the 3rd of November, former Prime Minister Imran Khan joined the protesters in person for the first time in 3 weeks amid stringent security. Khan told his supporters that although his life is under threat, he will continue his political struggle until his demands are met.
This imported government was brought through a U.S. conspiracy for corruption purposes. We will not accept this puppet regime, and we will fight till the end for fresh polls. We will dissolve our provincial governments in Punjab and Khyber Pakhtunkhwa provinces in days to come.
While calling Khan's long march a flop show, the government says that it will complete its constitutional term and the electoral process will be held at its scheduled time. Imran Khan's supporters say the recent massive mass rallies indicate Imran Khan's increasing popularity in his political domain. However, it is highly believed that his party will face tough political competition if the scheduled general elections are held according to the government's plan. Nasir Kazmi in Islamabad.
Venezuela has asked the United Nations to oversee a trust fund of its frozen assets. This follows an agreement between the government and opposition groups to end the political crisis in the Latin American country. According to Venezuelan delegates, billions of dollars held in foreign banks will be gradually unfrozen to combat a humanitarian crisis in the oil-rich nation. Shortly after the agreement, the U.S. Treasury Department issued a license for Chevron, its second largest oil company, to expand operations in Venezuela. The accord marks a breakthrough after 15 months of stalemate between President Nicolas Maduro's government and his opposition. The opposition is seeking free and fair presidential elections next due in 2024. Caracas wants the international community to recognize Maduro as the rightful president and to lift sanctions mostly imposed by the U.S. Italian rescuers are searching for nearly a dozen missing people on the southern island of Ischia, where a landslide has killed at least one person and injured several others. Rain and high winds are hampering rescue efforts and delaying ferries bringing reinforcements from the mainland. The government has scheduled an emergency meeting, as authorities describe the situation as very serious. A wave of mud and debris swept through a small town on the island early Saturday. The mudslide engulfed at least one house and swept cars down to the sea. Some people reported unaccounted for earlier have been found safe. A member of the Israeli Knesset is escalating tensions in Al-Quds City and the West Bank by calling for extrajudicial execution of Palestinian resistance leaders. This comes in the wake of the two bombings in Al-Quds City. The double bombing was the first in the city in years.
Itamar Ben-Gvir, a far-right member of the Israeli Knesset, has called for the extrajudicial executions. He is now to become Israel's Minister of National Security, giving him much more power than he had before. That power is quickly turning into a tool for him to pursue his extremist anti-Arab agendas. Just to put the extremism into perspective, Ben-Gvir and his allies hope to grant total immunity to Israeli soldiers who shoot at Palestinians and also impose the death penalty on Palestinians who attack Jewish people. For even more perspective, he made the headlines just before the Israeli elections as he called on the police to shoot Palestinian stone throwers as he held a pistol in his hand. Now being in charge of the Ministry of National Security, he has the power to implement his racist agendas that he's been advocating for years. Ben-Gvir's far-right party is called Otzma Yehudit, which translates into Jewish power. This party also has been fittingly called Kahanist and anti-Arab. Kahanist because the members of this party owe a lot of their racist ideologies to a racist rabbi by the name of Meir Kahane. He had called for a ban on Arab-Jewish intermarriage, as well as mass expulsion of Palestinians. His ideas were, in fact, so repugnant that the U.S. listed his party as a terrorist group, and he was even banned from Israeli parliament, the Knesset. He was unsurprisingly assassinated by an Arab in 1990. His ideologies, however, live on, as Itamar Ben-Gvir recently paid his tribute at an annual memorial still held to this date to revive the Otzma Yehudit party's pledge of allegiance to the slain Jewish supremacist rabbi.
He never since disowned Rabbi Meir Kahane or his legacy. In this passive regard, he's part of that racist legacy, but he was never caught saying anything like that publicly himself. That is why he remains within the political arena, and in recent years also much more firmly within it.
While Ben-Gvir was booed by the audience for saying, "I am not Rabbi Kahane and I do not support the deportation of all Arabs," he did also say, "Ultimately, Rabbi Kahane was about love. Love for Israel without compromise, without any other consideration." He was cheered later for vowing to expel what he called terrorists from Israel. With his newfound power alongside Benjamin Netanyahu and his Likud party, Israel is expected to have its most religious cabinet to date, which in Zionist terms means the most extremist Israeli administration to date.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 27th, 2022. I'm Atefe Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us what program or programs at IRIB English Radio you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. Today is November 27th, and we are with you with another edition of Listeners Special. And here, I do send my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Ivan A. Zeleny from Russia, Marsan Fritzen from Brazil, and Salvatore Righi from Italy. So, Ivan, Marsan, and Salvatore, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And for your information, these reception reports are very helpful for IRIB English Radio because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read these emails. From Belarus, we've received an email from Igor Belevich. Henry L. Omadhe from the Philippines has sent us an email. Mohammed Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners from the U.S., has sent us an email. From Sweden, we've received an email from Jan Thornblom. And the last but not the least in this edition of Listeners Special is an email from India from DK Sarkar. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, Igor Belevich from Belarus has sent us an email. Let's see what Igor says. Hello, my friends from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I received your signals in Belarus in English on shortwave at 20 UTC. I'm glad to listen to IRIB in English on shortwave. I use analog SW radio receiver. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you very much for sending this email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And we are very glad that you could receive the signals of IRIB English Radio. You know, we are also glad to have you as a listener. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as a verification, Igor Belevich from Belarus. Wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And Mohammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Let's see what he says. Buy Nothing Day is an international day of protest against consumerism. In North America, it is held the day after U.S. Thanksgiving concurrent to Black Friday. The negative effects of consumerism include the depletion of natural resources and pollution of the earth. The way the consumer society is working is not sustainable. We are currently overusing earth's natural resources by more than 70%. When you stop buying unnecessary things, you will start to feel better about yourself. You will see life and yourself in a whole new light. You will no longer be chained by the temptation of unnecessary spending. Muslims are advised to live modest lives and refrain from excessive consumption associated with Western values. The view of Islam is that all good things of this world are God's graces, which have been created for human being. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Muhammad Khaku from the US. And please accept our appreciations and gratitudes to you for sending us this email. This was great. Thank you for sharing your information about this day. I mean, Buy Nothing Day, which is an international day of protest against consumerism, which is rampant, actually, in the US, I think, and some of the European countries. And also, you had a great note. You said Muslims are advised to live modest lives and refrain from excessive consumption associated with Western values. That was a good point. Thank you for that. And thank you for sharing your experiences and information with us. Please write to us soon. We always welcome your attitudes, not only you, but also all our great listeners around the world. We wish you all the best, Muhammad Khaku from the US, and please accept our EQSL as verification. Welcome back. From Sweden, we've received an email from Jan Thornblom. Jan Thornblom from Sweden says, "Dear staff, as my hobby is listening to distant radio stations, I was very pleased to hear your station. The signal strength quiet okay, but a little unstable with some atmospheric noise and interference from a transmitter. Thank you very much for your nice programs. I hope you can identify your program through my reception report. If you found my report correct, I should be very glad to receive your QSL card, a letter or an email as a verification that I really have been listening to your nice and interesting station. I am 83 years old and I'm living in the central part of Malmo, which is a city located in the province Skåne in southern part of Sweden. I hope to hear from you soon. Best greetings. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Jan Thornblom from Sweden. And thank you very much for sending this kind email to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. We're so glad that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region, the central part of Malmo in Sweden. Thank you. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as a verification. And from the Philippines, we've received an email from Henry L. Umate. Let's see what Henry says. Dear English Radio Team, or IRIB English Radio, greetings from Bacolod City, Central Philippines. I missed your broadcast in shortwave since I have difficulty listening to the frequency given. But in the past, I enjoyed listening to your shortwave broadcast. I am lucky to catch your online broadcast this evening via your website. Please kindly send me your frequency schedule of your shortwave broadcast. Thank you. More power to IRIB. Salam and warm greetings to you, Henry L. Umate from the Philippines. And thank you for sending this kind and great email to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. We are very happy that you are able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in Bacolod City, Central Philippines. We are so glad for that. So, you had difficulty in receiving the signals of our radio for some time, but what about now? Are you able to receive them? Please tell us. And you referred to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And there, because for your information, sending any material on behalf of our radio in the time of pandemic is not possible, you can refer to our website, as I said, at www.parstoday.com/en. You can find our frequency schedule and the archive of our programs there in the website. Anyway, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Henry L. Umate from the Philippines, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Welcome back. As I said, from India, we've received an email from D.K. Sarkar. D.K. Sarkar from India says, I am a radio listener from India. I listen to your radio broadcast. I am sending herewith a brief audio file of your radio program. Kindly acknowledge this letter and verify my reception. Also, please send me, if possible, some information about your radio station. I shall be obliged if you please send me an EQSL. Thank you very much. D.K. Sarkar from India, salam and warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. So we've received your audio file of IRIB English Radio program. Thank you for that. For getting information about IRIB English Radio, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And there you can get some information about the programs that are broadcast in IRIB English Radio. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Thank you for writing to us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And of course, we welcome any attitude toward IRIB English Radio or world developments. D.K. Sarkar from India. So you just heard a piece of beautiful traditional Iranian music, and art is long and time is short. Time to say goodbye, but before that, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from all around the world, including Ivan A. Zeleni from Russia, Marsan Fritzen from Brazil, Salvatore Righi from Italy, Mohammad Khaku from the US, D.K. Sarkar from India, Igor Belevich from Belarus, Jan Thornblom from Sweden, and Henry L. Omate from the Philippines. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
The cultivation of an Islamic identity has been our ongoing topic. Allah is very generic and very broad. Laysa lil insana illa ma sa'a. You are nothing. The insan is nothing but what it strives for. Meaning you are defined by your struggle. You struggle for shaitan, you become satanic. You struggle for divinity, you become divine. Meaning close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You struggle for this dunya, you become the ahl dunya. You struggle for the akhir, you become ukhravi in nature. And so on and so forth. You are defined in this world by your struggle and your striving. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ma'idah goes one funnel in, one filter in, one level more, a little bit now closer. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah, wabtughal ilahi wasila, wajahidu fi sabilihi, la'allakum tuflihun. You want to be successful. Three of them in Surah Ma'idah, verse number 35, I believe. God-centric. Find a path of nearness to God. And then struggle. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. That was an common struggle. Whatever you struggle for, you become that. God says, no, now, جَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Now struggle, but struggle in my path. If you want to be successful. Then he goes one step further, which is the verse I read for you every single night in the khutbah of Surah Al-Ankabut, where Allah says, now, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. You want to struggle? Struggle in our way. Work hard, push hard, try to make your worship perfect. Try to learn your deen. We'll talk about that today. All of that. You do that in this very world, Allah will open up doors for you. لِنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Paths, not one sabil, subul, many, many different paths will open up. And I'm sure, again, like I said, my elders, I would love it if one day you guys all wrote a book for me about your life. I'd read it. How you got here, I can't even move to Milton from Stouffville. You guys picked up your life and flew across the ocean. Incredible. And don't tell me that paths didn't open that you thought were closed. There must have been hundreds for you. But that was because this tawakkul and reliance, you left Dar, or you left, let's say, Bombay, or you left Karachi, or wherever you left, you must have had this tawakkul of God. Dekho, hum log wahan ja rahe hain, let's see inshallah what happens, but tawakkul Allah. Now sometimes that tawakkul is a little bit misplaced. I remember going in a taxi. This taxi guy, I told him, I go, look, I'm late for my class. Please, let's try to get there. And this man, mashallah, was trying to get. And of course, he enters a one-way. One-way meaning one-way towards me. Against a one-way. I go, Allah, this is khalaf. You can't do this. This is against the law. He goes, Allah, tawakkul Allah. I go, look, not everything has tawakkul of God. You can't break a law and say tawakkul. That tawakkul is not what I'm talking about. So God now talks about the idea that, look, everything you are and your identity is what you strive for. You are known for what you struggle for. So I'm not up here for 10 nights saying, oh, it's easy. You know, he makes it sound so difficult, so easy. No, I know. A lot of trauma, a lot of triggers. There's a lot of stuff inside of you have to sort through to get to where I want all of you and myself to be. A Muslim with a sense of pride nowadays, where you identify with a Muslim, being a Muslim. You correct somebody when they pronounce your name incorrectly. You have no problems wearing hijab, let's say, for example. It's okay if in your Zoom call, there's Ya Hussein banners in the back. You're not worried about your coworkers saying, what's that flag behind you? Part of that comes from, like I said, the idea of being distinct last night. Part of it comes from knowledge. We cannot identify with a path unless we know the path. And I challenge my young guys. The reason why I brought this idea of striving and struggling, because I see you in every other aspect of your life, you do not become complacent. If the undergrad that you have does not cut it, you'll go back to school 10 years later and get your master's. If you're at your workplace for many, many years and you're stuck, let's say, at one position, you won't. You'll go to your manager and say, look, either you give me that promotion to a different job, a better job, or I'm going to go shopping around for another job. I've been here for a decade now. I'm not moving up the ladder. If I'm going to the gym right now and I'm heavy lifting weights, let's say, for example, after a while, the weight becomes very light. You add on a couple of more, a 10-pound plate, for example. But the deen, for example, unfortunately, is such that, the last time I talked about God, Asad Bhai, was my grade 9 madrasa class. The last time I opened a book about Islam. Yeah, I sit there in majlises, I come in Muharram, month of Ramadan, that's fine. That's okay, but I tell you, the least effective way of learning sometimes is this pulpit. I'll be very frank with you. It's a monologue, it's 45 minutes, right? And every 15 minutes, your mind goes. I know that as a speaker. But for you to consciously now invest in your mind now and build on what you already know is what the deen requires. Knowledge is everything. Knowledge is power. And a lot of what we doubt today can be answered through knowledge. Now, ilm is a whole discussion altogether. It's a massive discussion. But I do want to look at it through a different dimension tonight, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, when I say knowledge, I don't mean secular knowledge. Let's be very, very clear. I mean understanding Tawheed. You bring home, let's say, an iPhone, for example, from the store. You turn it on. There's already a pre-installed software on that phone. Correct? The latest version of the iOS is on there already. You turn it on, if it's blank, if there's no software on it, you'll turn it back and you will return. Say, look, there's something wrong with my phone. So Apple gives you a phone that already has a pre-installed software in it. And it tells you from time to time to do what? Update it. Forces it on you. If you don't update it, the apps won't work. Because then your apps have to update. So it says, fine, you have this pre-installed software, but I need you to constantly kind of keep on top of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also created us with pre-installed software. Something called the fitrah inside of us. This innate nature, this innate disposition. What we call as the God gene in theology. If it's one thing that was always there from time, it's worship. Worship was always there. Right, wrong, that's not my discussion. But man was always searching for what to worship, a higher power. The sun, the moon, for example, the idols, for example, themselves like Fir'aun, what have you, all these things were there. There was never a moment where a civilization was not searching for something to worship, which means the God gene is very innate inside of us. Doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or non-Muslim, male or female. If you are a creation of God, you have this inside of you. It's pre-installed already. I asked myself, when's the last time I updated that software? When's the last time I updated my Tawheed software? When's the last time I opened the Tawzil Masala of my Marja? When's the last time I read about, for example, the Akhlaq of this or the history of this? When's the last time I went through one tafsir verse of the Quran? Now, many of my elders, mashallah, you know that the Quran now is a part of your life, and alhamdulillah, you spend several hours a week doing it. And I get it right now. A lot of my young guys, 20s, 30s, you're trying to establish your career. I get it. Just got married now, trying to figure out a home in this market. I get it. I'm not asking you to sit there for hours and hours. But I am saying that knowledge is key. I don't think anybody in this room or anybody listening to me online has this enmity towards God. I like to think that's not going to happen. But you know what? I want to live my life, Asad Bhai, to anger Allah. I don't know if anyone's like that right now. I don't think all of us, leave our house every day saying, I'm going to break every single one of Allah's commands, and you watch how I anger Him. I think all of us have this desire to get closer to God. I think sometimes we think it's a massive mountain, But I do know that there is this need, all of us, myself included, to always be a little bit closer to God. If that's the case, it's not going to happen like that. If the company that you want to apply to is flat out saying, look, we need more than undergrad, you'll invest 2 years, get to graduate school, get your master's, and apply to the school. Apply to the job. There is a desperate need today for us to constantly secure and strengthen our sense of tawhid, our sense of deen. We have to begin to tread the path of knowledge.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareem Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mateen. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Majh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Current world order will be replaced by a new order where US is isolated, Asia powerful, resistance front expanded. This is the part of a speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with students on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. This meeting was held on the occasion of National Students' Day and National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance, which are commemorated on the 13th of Aban 4th of November. But some other Western powers are like America in this field. In the media, they teach destruction. They teach people how to riot and how to make Molotov cocktails and hand grenades. When a government or a governmental organization's media acts this way, it is a sign of their moral depravity. The United States also played an obvious role in the recent riots that took place in our country in the past few weeks. The announcement made by the Intelligence Ministry and the IRGC intelligence organization is an important announcement. It is very detailed and some cannot be bothered reading it, but we have received their information and reports. This information is very important. There is a lot written on this subject. The discoveries that our intelligence services have made in this field are very valuable. They sat and orchestrated plots for Tehran. They devised schemes for large cities and for small cities.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today. And that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The appearance is that there are a handful of young people or teenagers in the field. Well, these young people and teenagers are our own children. We don't have anything against them. They are filled with excitement and emotions, and they are a bit inattentive towards understanding these issues. No, we are more concerned about those who are orchestrating the events. They are the ones who entered the scene with a plan in mind. What I'm saying should be considered by everyone. They have a plan in mind. Our officials should keep this in mind. Fortunately, our intelligence officials are paying attention to this. Our political officials, our economic officials, all our officials should realize that they came onto the scene with a plot. The people and new youngsters should also realize this. They entered the scene with a plot. The plan is to make the Iranian nation stand with them. They want to make the Iranian people believe in the same things that the British and American leaders believe in.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.